Series of Numbers. Acceptance, this particular verse of scripture right here, is what I got stuck on, and I can't get off of it. And the reason I can't get off of it, and our last message I preached was about learning to live in and with the darkness of life in the series. And as I preached through that, I worked up a whole series of messages on this. But for some reason, God just didn't want them preached at that time. And so, bingo, I didn't feel right about it. So, bingo, I went to something else and had to start working again, making up new messages. But last week, I felt led back to this material, and I feel like it's what I'm supposed to do. Now, the reason I got stuck on this thing is a very simple one. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This faith to faith has in it the connotation and the idea of the very first example of faith, where Abel offered a more righteous sacrifice than Cain, and continues right on through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and right down today. So when I hit this, I just went back in the Old Testament and I started showing the different times that it existed from faith to faith. And I worked up a long series of messages on different types of Bible characters. And I'm going to be talking a little while later on Abraham. And these are messages I prepared when I was off in December. Now, last Sunday, I started on some of the material that I prepared last December for Sunday school. And I talked about 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual drink, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And so the Old Testament characters, from the very beginning, were led by the same Spirit of Christ that we're led by, in a little different way. He was referred to as the angel of the Lord, had other names in the Old Testament. And it is a story that was put there for us so that we might not make the same mistakes that they made. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6, verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. God gave us Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them for many reasons. But one of the main reasons was so we could look at their lives, see what they did wrong, see what they did right, try to follow the things they did that pleased God and not follow the things they did that didn't please God. And so they're there and they're real and they're genuine. Exodus 13, 5. Now we're going to take a look in the Old Testament at the nation of Israel. We're going to take a look at some of the people and characters of Israel. And we're going to let them be our example as to what they didn't do. And we want to be sure and do what they didn't do that pleased God. And what they did do that pleased God, and we want to be sure and do that. Now in Exodus 13:5, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shouldest keep this service in this month. Now God delivered the nation of Israel from the Pharaoh, who was a picture of Satan, and from the land of bondage, which was a picture of the world in which they were engrossed and in which they were a part. And he delivered them and saved them and brought them through the waters, and they were baptized as followers of Moses with the water on both sides. And then he tried to lead them. How did he do it? Well, he did it by showing himself in many different ways to them. But he also kept them going by a promise that he made, which he sware unto my fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shouldest keep this service in this month. Now I realize that you probably get very tired of hearing about this marvelous city, three-fifths the size of the United States, and this new earth that God's promised in the fullness of the dispensation of times. And I realize that over and over again you think, well, this is just repetition, repetition, repetition. That's the promise that God gave us. Now God gave them a promise of a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a real material physical land. But God has given us the promise of a heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, three-fifths the size of the United States, and a new earth made out of material that we're not familiar with. He's promised us glorified bodies, and he's promised us something that's there. Now, here's the problem. The depth of our belief determines how well we walk in our faith. if this is just something that isn't that interesting, and I'm so glad Brother Michael Murray showed that to us, and I didn't know that, well, how interesting. If that's all it is to you, then I might as well never have shown it to you. And God might as well have not put it in the book. But if it's real to you, you're going to continue to be faithful. And you're going to make an effort to serve God, and you're not going to let anything stop you from serving God, because you believe the promise that He's given you of a new heaven and a new earth and a new body. And you actually believe that in order to claim that promise, there are certain things God wants you to do. Now, you're saved by grace through faith. These people, God promised it to them. With some, like Caleb and Joshua, it was enough. They said, we're able to go up and take this land. The other 10 spies said, no, it wasn't enough. But the promise of God is what God gave us to keep us going. And we've got to claim it by faith. We cannot claim it any other way. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're going to take a look at the lessons of the years of wandering, and hopefully we're going to transcribe them over to ourselves, both individually and collectively as a church. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 8 and 1. We're going to let what these people did right be our example, and what they did wrong is our example. In Deuteronomy 8 and 1, all the commandments, not some, but all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Don't just know what they are. Don't just be able to say them. And don't just do those that are pleasant to you. Do all of them. He said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. He said, observe them. Do them. Then he tells them why. That ye may live. First promise. And multiply. Second promise. Third promise. And go in and possess the land which the fathers swear unto your fathers. He said, if you want to possess this land, he said, you're my children. He said, I want to be good to you. He said, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to observe my commandments now. I've led you out of Egypt. You've been delivered from Egyptian bondage. He said, now I want you to obey. Perhaps one of the things that I haven't emphasized as much as I should here in this church over the years, because quite frankly, at times I didn't think people were able to take it. Obedience. Obedience, obedience, obedience. For the child of God, that is the key single word, obedience. He said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the fathers swear unto your fathers. Now, most of us here this morning, if not all of us, have been saved. We know Christ is our Savior. So we're going to heaven. We're His children. He says the same thing to us in Matthew 28:20. We're saved. The first part of Matthew 28:19 is, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Make disciples. Tell them about Jesus. Let them be saved by grace through faith. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then he says, now that they're children of mine, now that they've followed me in baptism, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now notice, look back at Deuteronomy 8:1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Why? That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the fathers swear unto your fathers. Now notice what he tells us as a church, teaching them to observe, not just know them, but observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Well, back in Deuteronomy 8:1, he led them through the wilderness. He guided them. He was with them continually. Now notice what he says to us. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. The keynote for every child of God after they have been saved is obedience. You can't skip it. You can't push it to one side. You can't self-pedal it. It has to be put forward. It's unpopular. It's not liked because the carnal man can't stand it. But God says, do it. Why? And go in and possess the land which the fathers swear unto your fathers. When we arrive in heaven as children of God, where we live, the reward we're given, the jobs we have, the degree of our happiness, everything that affects us in heaven is going to be dependent on how well we observed all the things he taught us in his word after he commanded us. That's why you need to be in church. You can't observe them if you don't know where they are. But you can come to church and sit here and listen to all this and learn everything in the Bible. Well, not really, but you can learn just about everything. You can learn a lot of things. And then if you don't observe them, you're just about like a person that just came and wasted his time. But if you don't come and know what they are, you sure can't observe them. And so every time that God gives you opportunity, if you're a child of God, you need to be in church. And you need to be finding out what it is that God wants you to do. Obedience, 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 obedience. Now, the first thing he said to the nation of Israel is, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live. All right? If they didn't do them, you know what happened? They took them outside the gate, and they stoned them to death. The penalty for not obeying many of God's commandments was death. But we are not called to Mount Sinai and to the mountain that trembled and the darkness and the fire and the fear of God. We're called by the Son of God into a local church. Now, here's what God has to say to us today, comparing that you may live in observing his commandments. Hebrews 12 and 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We gave our fathers reverence because we feared them, and we feared their hand upon our backside. And we gave them reverence, and hopefully we had some respect for what they had to say. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father of spirits and live? What is being in subjection of the Father of spirits? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What happened when your father told you to do something and you disobeyed him? You got a spanking. What happened when you did it again? You got another spanking. What happened when you finally just completely disobeyed your father and went off into disobedience and killed somebody? When I was a boy, they executed you and killed you. Now, what does God do to those children in his local churches that will not be in subjection to his commandments and actually blatantly disobey them, live a life before the world that is a shame and a sham to God? Here's what happens. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father of spirits and live? If the subjection of an individual church member becomes to the point that that person is personally embarrassing God, then I'll tell you this. It's probably in this thing. Flip that thing up and down. It's personally disobeying God, embarrassing. God will take their physical life, and he'll take them home early. In the Old Testament, the people did it. Today, we exclude people from church that commit this, and people say, oh, that church practices discipline. They voted that person out of the church. How horrible. You should have been in the Old Testament times. They'd have killed that person. They'd have stoned them to death. You don't realize how merciful God is. And sometimes God tells us to exclude people from the church when their conduct is such that they're an embarrassment to the church, and we won't do it because we're afraid it'll hurt their feelings. Well, in the Old Testament, when people did things like some people do on church rolls today, they took them outside and killed them. And so God has really changed his plan and is much more merciful than he was in the Old Testament. We're talking about the taking of physical life. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, it certainly seems fair to me because that person goes to heaven anyway. And if God had left them down here much longer, it wouldn't have been fair to take them to heaven, even though they were saved by grace through faith. The second thing he said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. Why aren't our churches growing? Oh, there's a simple reason. We just haven't been on fire for Jesus. We just don't have enough zeal. We haven't been knocking on doors. We haven't gotten on fire for Jesus, and we're not out there like bunny rabbits telling the whole world about Jesus, and that's why our churches haven't grown. And all we need are more programs to have more zeal. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when Imogene and I came here, we canvassed, along with one other family, the Martins, we canvassed this entire town and visited every house in this town twice. You know what happened out of it? Absolutely nothing. You want to see churches grow? Am I opposed to going out and knocking on doors? God forbid. Am I opposed to canvassing the community and talking to people? God forbid. You want to do that? Have at it. Sometimes it'll work in some places, sometimes it won't. But what did God tell them to do in order for multiplication? He said, all the commandments that I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. So what does God want us to do? Notice, Acts 2:41, 42, 46, and 47. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They multiplied. Why did they multiply? Well, it was an act of God's Spirit. What was it they did that people noticed? And they continued steadfastly, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, did a scholar's teachings, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You show me a church that spends its time as the individual church members try to do what God wants them to do, and they try to continue steadfastly in the commandments of God, to obey what he told them to do, to fellowship and love one another, and to take the Lord's Supper and the ordinances in the church correctly, and to pray for one another, and I will show you a church that grows. It may not grow at the spectacular rate that human beings have come to associate with God's Spirit, which totally, in many cases, is wrong, but it will grow, and it will grow at the rate that God wants, and it will grow because they see people obeying the Spirit of God, and they see people that are doing something they aren't doing, and God's Holy Spirit will convict them. So if you want to see a church multiply, do what God said. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued more or less as a church, as a body, as a unit. Now notice what happened. And they, continuing daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were a group of people who had one thing in mind, obeying what God said. Now, a lot of our churches have been told, turned into soul-winning factories. They get somebody saved, and they say, get out there and get hot for Jesus. And they turn loose upon the world a newborn babe in Christ who has never really had any effort made whatsoever in its entire life to conform to the Word of God and His commandments. They don't even know what they are. And they rush out and begin telling people about how to be saved. And they make professions of faith, and pretty soon you're sitting there with a church full of infantile babes in Christ, and instead of teaching them, you want to get more and more and more and more. Well, these people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayers. These were people that were being taught to follow the commandments of God. And many times when these people go out and they face adversity, they're not equipped when people give them a rebuttal to what they're saying, and they get all upset and hurt and fall away from the faith, and they drop out of church because they weren't prepared by the church to go out and tell the people about this Son of God because they didn't know enough about Him. And we've got preachers that'll say, oh, Brother McElmurray, all you got to know is Jesus saves. You get out there and get on fire for Jesus and people will get saved. That sounds good. It touches the human heart, but that's not the way God's plan indicates it's supposed to be done. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You show me a church where the members love one another, and they don't go home and criticize one another, and they don't go home and continually say things about one another, and instead of having critical spirits, they try to do what God wants, then you'll see a church that will grow. And the problem in our missionary Baptist churches today is dissension, disagreement, unwillingness to forgive, a constant bickering and unhappiness among the membership because everybody wants their own way, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be, actually it's were being saved. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's God's church plan. That's what God has put out there for us to follow. And as long as we'll obey what He said, we can be a successful church in God's eyes, whether we're a successful church in the eyes of the world or not. Notice what He says. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. God gave a church a commission. He gave Israel a commission. They were supposed to obey His commandments. If they had obeyed His commandment to go from Kadesh Barnea northward and take the land, they would have possessed it. If we will simply do what God says, God will take care of all the rest. Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We don't have the power. He does. And in the last part of Matthew 18, 20, He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Just do what He said. Verse 19, go ye therefore. It means as you are going in your everyday walk of life, and teach all nations. Don't high pressure them into receiving Christ. Don't give them a bunch of things to say and then say, oh, now you're saved. Teach them about Jesus and let the Holy Spirit have His own way in the work. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If we'll do these three things, the Holy Spirit of God will take care of the rest. We don't have to be like bunny rabbits hopping all over the world feeling that everybody's going to hell if we're not constantly on fire for Jesus going door to door. Now, if people want to do that, that's fine. I'm not condemning that. But I'm telling you, in this church and in this community, in this place, the Great Commission has worked the way it was stated. And while we have not grown rapidly, we've got a whole lot more than nine people here now. Deuteronomy 9:23. Now, next week, we're going to talk about, Lord willing, Deuteronomy 9:23. And we're going to talk about going up and possessing the land. And we're going to continue with the next verse, but now it's time for Sunday school to be over. And so we'll just go on from there next Sunday, Lord willing.